You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Friday, May 11th, 2018. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on either iTunes or Spotify and leave the show a good review in iTunes. I had a couple ideas for what we were going to do on today's show, but when I was looking back at the mailbag questions left for yesterday's mailbag show, it seemed like there were a lot. There were enough that we could get two shows out of it, and I'm not saying we're going to do two mailbags every week during the off season, but it gives us a little extra time to cover more ground, and I really like the mailbag shows. I really like the questions that we get, so this week I think we'll end the week with another mailbag. These are questions from the comment section of GangreneNation.com. First question, how do you think the Jets will work with Darnold to improve all aspects of his game? As bad as Hackenberg is, I think the Jets did a terrible job of trying to develop him. I hope Darnold can cut down on turnovers. When do you think he'll set foot in a real game? When does he start? Should they wait for the offensive line to gel a bit first so Darnold doesn't get hurt? I'm not sure I agree with the thought that the Jets did a bad job developing Hackenberg. That, you know, I don't think anything's on the coaching staff as far. I take that back. There's one thing that could be on the coaching staff, and that's if the coaching staff gave their stamp of approval to draft Hackenberg in the second round, because I think they just blew that evaluation. I mean, on some level, you can either play or you can't. You know, there are some guys where coaching matters, but some guys there's a certain threshold you have to have in terms of talents to where you can either play the game effectively or you can't, and Hackenberg pretty clearly can't play the game effectively. He's not going to go somewhere else and light it up. I'm very confident in saying that, so I don't think you can blame the coaching staff because Hackenberg hasn't. What skills does Hackenberg have that they can build on? So I can't agree. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with the idea that Jets did a terrible job trying to develop Hackenberg. You know, the question, how will the Jets work with Darnold to improve his game? I mean, I think, you know, you look at mechanics, there are things that can be drilled into him in terms of his footwork under pressure, which gets a little inconsistent, and obviously the throwing motion, where he just has too much wasted motion there. And there was a good article in the AP the other day, if you haven't seen it, that talks about how Darnold's using a technology, he's using what's called a smart football to improve his throwing motion, because essentially what they're finding is that there is wasted motion where he drops the football, which you don't want to do because it doesn't really add anything to the delivery of the football. It doesn't add velocity. It doesn't add accuracy. It just kind of wastes motion, wastes time. And in the NFL, a fraction of a second can be the difference between success and failure on a pass. So you want to get the ball out quickly. And when they used this technology, what they saw was, in fact, the ball came out with just as much velocity when he did not drop it, when he did not add that extra motion to his delivery. So I think they'll work on stuff like that. When will he set foot in a real game? You know, that's a question of how does he look in training camp. And what's important to note is that you never know for certain how pro-ready a quarterback is. And it's a possibility he'll need to sit, and the Jets have brought in a couple other quarterbacks in case that's the case. So I think, you know, I don't think they'd hesitate to play him week one. I always hear about how Todd Bowles doesn't like playing rookies. Well, Jets rookies had the eighth most snaps last year, according to Pro Football Focus. So I don't think that that's a case where the Jets would ever hesitate to throw him in the game. He was the third overall pick. And the last question was, should they wait for the offensive lines to be better? And I'm sympathetic to that question, but I don't think you can just hide Darnold. I mean, he was the third overall pick. I don't think you can just hide him because you're afraid he's going to get hurt. Again, on some level, you can either play or you can't. And I mean, I can name you plenty of rookie quarterbacks who came into the league without a great offensive line and still had success. Now, yeah, you'd like the offensive line to be built up, but I don't think you can just hold him out till you're satisfied with the offensive line. I mean, the quarterback position is just too important for that. So I think they play him when they think he's ready. I don't think, you know, that you're going to hold him out if you think he can play just out of fear of him getting hurt. I mean, at some point you're also trying to win games. You're trying to build for the future. So he's going to have to get out there and play and try and help this team be successful. So I don't think that that's the type of thing that necessarily would delay them. Next question deals with uniforms, and this is a pretty cool question. I like this one. What's your favorite all-time Jets uniform? And I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial. I really like the uniforms they have now. You know, I hear constantly people say, well, they're outdated or they're boring. I mean, I don't know what that means. I really don't know what those things mean. I like the idea that the Jets have uniforms that are similar to the ones they wore in the Joe Namath era. That's when the team was most successful. And I think when you look at teams that make uniform changes, teams that do something like that, the only ones that look good are the ones that are kind of throwbacks, you know, the retro uniforms. Whenever a team gets a new uniform and they try and make it more modern, they usually look terrible. Look at the Dolphins, the Browns, the Bucks. I mean, every new uniform that gets released, unless it's like a throwback to an earlier era, unless the team's going back to a former uniform, usually it looks pretty bad. So I like the uniforms they have now. You know, a lot of people like the Kelly Green from the, you know, from the era before the Jets switched back. And this might be a generational thing. You might think back to the sack exchange days, because the sack exchange wore those uniforms. For me, that's Bruce Coslett, that's Pete Carroll, that's Rich Cote. That's a bad era in Jets history. Those are the memories I get out of those uniforms. So I don't want to see them go back to that. I mean, if the Jets ever start wearing throwback uniforms again, yeah, I'd probably prefer those to the Titans uniforms, which don't look so great. But I don't have a problem with the uniforms the Jets have now. I think that if they change their uniforms, it's more likely they're going to get worse than it is that they're going to get better. And I will blame all of you who complained that the Jets needed, if the Jets get new uniforms and they're bad, I'm blaming all of you who complained about how the team needed new uniforms, because I don't think the team does. Next question, what are you looking for most early in OTAs? I think the thing that will probably be the most interesting to me is how healthy is Teddy Bridgewater? And we may not get a total answer to that question, but there have been some questions about, I think the Jets have given you some contradictory statements about how healthy Bridgewater is. Mike Maccagnan on a radio show recently suggested Bridgewater was healthy. Todd Bowles kind of hedged his bets a little bit, and I'm more inclined to believe Maccagnan just because Bowles has shown you through the years that he's not really going to tell the truth. He doesn't really hesitate to get up in front of the media and tell a lie. And I'm not saying that is a bad thing. I mean, coaches are always secretive, but Bowles just gets up there and just tells you stuff that's flat out on true. It proves to be false. I'm not inclined to really believe Bowles when he says something like this. When I say that, it makes it sound like I'm down on Bowles. It makes it sound like I'm criticizing Bowles, which I'm not doing, because lots of coaches are secretive. And I mean, I don't know what you really get out of something like that, but I don't think it hurts the team at all. So I'm interested in Bridgewater's health. I'm also interested in Quincy Enunwa's health. Enunwa spoke with some reporters the other day and suggested that things are going well in his recovery. So I'm kind of just interested to get an idea on some of the guys who are returning from serious injuries, how they're doing. I think a lot of the stuff that happens in OTAs probably, and especially in the veteran minicamp, probably gets overreported. It's not as important as people make it out to be, because these are off-season practices. So I think it's a case where people are just looking for information. People are excited to finally get information, and they probably overanalyze what information they do get. During the season, if a guy puts together 2-3 good practices, does anybody even know about it? Whereas in the offseason and in training camp, a guy puts together a couple good practices and it's viewed as a monumental development, or a guy puts together a couple bad practices and it's viewed as a devastating thing. So I don't think it's the type of thing you can get overly excited about. But I think one thing you will be able to tell is how guys who are returning from serious injuries like Enunwa and Bridgewater are doing. So I think that's probably what I'm looking for among all else. Next question, if injuries and off-field concerns prove to be irrelevant, who will have a better season, Robbie Anderson or Quincy Enunwa? That's a great question, and I'm inclined to go with Enunwa. I think he and Darnold are going to develop a nice chemistry. I think Enunwa, I think Enunwa in a lot of ways is probably going to, and I can't take full credit for this because I remember somebody mentioned this and I really liked the thought process a little while back. I think in a lot of ways Enunwa is going to take over a lot of the tight end duties, and if you follow rookie quarterbacks, having a security blanket at the tight end position is something that helps them out a lot. So I think Enunwa, you'll have a big threat who will work the middle of the field. So I think Enunwa is the guy. I think I see him developing a really nice chemistry with Sam Darnold. I think heading into last season, people thought Enunwa was going to be the top receiver. Anderson was going to be the second banana. So I think I would go with Enunwa for that reason. I don't think the Jets are going to get a whole lot out of the traditional tight end position. So I think Enunwa will help fill that void. So I'm going Enunwa, and that's, it wouldn't shock me though if it was Anderson. Anderson last year really developed into one of the better deep threats in the league, so I don't think you can rule it. I think it's close, but I'd go Quincy. Next question. Pennell got a sizable contract. McClendon and Leo Williams are proven players. Anderson, who they got from the Colts if healthy, is also a good starter. Some believe Shepard might be pro-ready if all these guys are good to go. Who starts? I think your three starters are probably McClendon, Leonard Williams, and Anderson, who was the guy they got from the Colts, if he's healthy. He's a guy who's kind of been dicey with injuries with him. He's had a tough time staying on the field. But I think those are your three guys. Those are the three guys with the best reputations. Those are three. McClendon and Williams are obviously proven starters, and Anderson, if healthy, is a good player. So even though Pennell got a pretty decent deal for a backup player, I think he's more of a depth guy than he is a starter. I think you'll see him play a lot. He'll be a rotational guy who gets plenty of action, and I think he's kind of a backup plus. I mean, maybe they'll want to limit Anderson's snaps, try and keep him healthy, keep him fresh. I'm not sure how big of a role Shepard will play this year. Again, I've said this many times, I don't think you can ever count on a third-round pick going in and producing as a rookie. And you can just pull up the list. Just pull up a recent draft year. Look at the players and look at what they produced rookie year in the third-round picks. It just doesn't happen much. So I think you have to view it with Shepard as anything you get from him is a bonus. Sometimes it does happen occasionally that a third-rounder goes in and plays great right off the bat, but it's not the kind of thing you can count on. It's the kind of thing you're happy when you get it. You're grateful when you get it, but it's never the type of thing that you can absolutely count on. So I'd say I think your three starters are McClendon, Williams, and Anderson, and Pennell's kind of going to be your primary backup for those three guys. Next question, who is the greatest quarterback in NFL history pre-Sam Darnold? Because obviously Sam Darnold is going to be the greatest to ever play. So the two people who the debate seems to center around right now are Joe Montana and Tom Brady. What's interesting is that if you go back about a year, maybe a little over a year, Montana was asked the question, who's the greatest, is it you or Brady? And what he said was, it's hard to compare guys from different eras. Everybody looks at me, and you look at Tom and what they do now, and you look at me and back at what we did then, you look at the guys who played before me, and I just think it's really hard. Tom's a great player. I'm not saying in that direction. I just think it's hard when you look at guys. I always tell people, go look at Sammy Baugh and look at Otto Graham, two guys that were so far ahead of their time. One of those guys I can't remember won 7 or 9 championships, and no one ever talks about him. I was going up for an award, and Otto Graham came out of the door next to me, and my wife comes up, and he says, oh, hey, how are you doing? And then he turns, oh, I forgot something, and goes back inside. She goes, who's that? I go, that guy, that's the guy who's going to win tonight. And he did. I think it's hard. Tom's a great, great player, and he's having a great career. So I just say enjoy what they're all doing now. And I think in a lot of ways, Montana's right that it is difficult to compare across eras. But I think he's also right from the standpoint that people talk about Montana and Brady as the only two options, and they forget that football was played professionally before the Super Bowl era. So guys like Sammy Baugh, guys like Otto Graham, guys like Johnny Unitas should be in the mix. And Unitas's career did overlap. It did cross over into the Super Bowl era. So I think it's tough for me to say to pick one guy over the other. I never really like picking just one guy. What I like to do is kind of put them in tiers and say that, you know, this is the top tier, this is the best of the best, and you're not crazy if you pick one of these guys. So I'd put those guys up there. I think I'd put Peyton Manning into that top tier. So I think you have to put it. I never like just saying one guy is better than the other because I think that's subjective. I think it's tough to do unless it's like an obvious case. So I think there's like a top tier where you have those guys in the mix, and then there are probably a couple other guys there. But I don't like answering that. But I think there are a number of guys you can look to, and those are some of the names that I think you can look to. Next question, who are the Jets drafting with the first pick in the 2019 NFL draft? Well, we're just going to end this week on a lot of positivity if we're saying the Jets are getting the number one overall pick. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, is that the Jets are not going to be the worst team in the league this year, so they're not going to end up with a number one overall pick. I think if they do, you really, really, really have to look at trading down. You have to look at what I liked what the Tennessee Titans did a couple of years ago when they finished with the year after they drafted Marcus Mariota, they got the number one overall pick, and they traded down because they knew how valuable that pick was, and they already had their quarterback. And I think that's the situation the Jets are in, where there's still a lot the Jets have to build around Sam Darnold. So you trade down, you might end up picking up another first round pick. You definitely could probably get back the second round pick that you traded to the Colts this year, the 2019 second rounder. So I think you have to look at trading down if you're picking high next year. Now we'll see. Maybe there's just a generational left tackle prospect, like, you know, maybe the next Orlando Pace comes out next year. I mean, if that's the case, and I'm not even going to start talking about names because we have a full season of college football to play. So the guys who are rated high now are not necessarily going to be the guys who are drafted high next year. So we'll see what happens, but my inclination would be to trade down. You probably can, again, you can probably get an extra first round pick by doing that, which is pretty valuable. So I'm not sure you necessarily make a pick. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. Options are iTunes and Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk again next week.